This notion of the secular is based upon a distinction that faith itself admits, and in fact insists upon, between faith and the saeculum, the world. But the distinction can be made in either a friendly way or a hostile way. It can be proposed so that the integrity of the world and that of faith are each preserved, or it can be made in such a way that one pole of the dichotomy threatens the other. St. Albert's calling as a Catholic scholar was to be part of an intellectual tradition that started with the recognition that faith and world are truly distinct, but nonetheless not antagonistic. St. Albert's own calling to explore that tradition and to advance it as a Catholic scholar and saint was in a non-secular context, of course. He was a citizen of a Christian commonwealth. He belonged to a newly formed religious community, the Order of Preachers, that revivified biblical studies and did so in a context of personal and community life marked by evangelical poverty. He belonged to a diocesan church as its bishop, and he was on the faculty of nascent universities, that is, the successors to the cathedral schools, to the mendicant Studia Generalia, and before that, to the monastic schools, which led to the formation of the first universities in Bologna, Oxford, and Paris. It was St. Benedict's foundation of monasticism in the West that enabled oases of learning to survive together with worship of God in the center of life when civil structures were collapsing during the so-called Dark Ages. These institutions, the monastic institutions and the schools that were part of them, were able to keep learning alive in an unsettled, sometimes anarchic, epoch. But by Albert's time, social institutions had emerged from a new and robust Christian culture. The Renaissance of the 11th and 12th centuries was in full flower and took place, moreover, within a society and via a form of learning that was not secular. Being on the other side of an Enlightenment that sees faith and world as unfriendly, today's scholars use the term secular and non-secular with a different tone than did St. Albert. In exploring the history of that change of meaning, we approach an understanding of the task of the Catholic scholar in a post-Christian society and can recognize again how the intellectual life and the spiritual life, each respectful of the other, strengthen each other. For descriptive purposes, we can say that a Catholic scholar is someone who self-consciously contributes to an intellectual tradition that relates faith to reason while doing justice to both, that makes explicit the desire to keep them in conversation in such a way that one can learn from the other. Starting at the very beginning, this is a tradition that goes back to the apostles themselves, who had to figure out how they could continue to be monotheists as Jewish believers and still affirm that Jesus Christ is God. Of course, even the partial elaboration of Christology and of Trinitarian theology took some centuries to achieve. Yet, even the first generation, the Apostolic Fathers, had to depart at times from the vocabulary of apostolic preaching and of Scripture itself, borrowing conceptual tools from the pagan philosophers and scientists, and transforming them in service of a new form of learning that was genuine on its own terms, logically coherent and faithful to its canons of evidence, and at the same time, authentically Christian. That process began with St. Paul himself, who expounded the truths of our faith while thinking self-consciously in conformity with the strictures of human logic.